If you got your Bibles, I'm going to be reading from Genesis chapter 3, a verse. And if you want to stick your thumb in Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to read a verse from there as well. And again, it's so good to see each one that's gathered this morning. And, you know, we've said a lot about our trip already, but I also want to say one more thing. We had some teenagers on the bus. And they couldn't have been more helpful and more accommodating. I told them when we got done, you can go on any trip with me. It was nice to have somebody do all the heavy lifting. And they didn't complain a bit. And appreciated them as well. Two verses of scriptures that I want to use to establish my thought for this morning. And I'll still be referring to more scriptures in Genesis chapter 3, but I just want to share these two verses that I mentioned. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, the biblical record here states, "And they," and it was referring to Adam and Eve, "and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." The other verse, which will be my text verse, is in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, which reads, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do." My thought for a few moments this morning, the title of my message, is Hiding from God. Hiding from God. You know, this third chapter in the book of Genesis here, this is a critical, this is a fundamental chapter to the history of humanity as well as to Christian belief. And I didn't read all the verses because this is a well-known portion of God's Word to us. And in the first seven verses of this chapter, it records the temptation that took place between the serpent, between the devil and Satan, between Adam and Eve, and also the ultimate fall of humanity when they believed the lies of the deceiver over the command of God. And so I want you to pay attention this morning, because the moment that they believed the lies of the serpent over the commands of God, the Word of God tells us that they partook of what we refer to as that forbidden fruit, and they partook of it, and immediately it invoked the promise of God. You remember what the promise of God was? If they did what God told them not to do, the promise was that they would surely die. And we know from the reading of God's Word that at that moment that they did that, what I believe I would term as immortal man, at that moment, immortal man became mortal. And he became subject to death. Physical death could have occurred at that very moment. People ask me all the time, "Well, it said you'll surely die." We understand it to mean that they would die physically and spiritually, but they didn't die right then, physically. Why didn't they die physically right then? I believe the reason for that was the mercy of God. The mercy of God, they did not die physically, but death was on the horizon. As we all know, death is coming for all of us. But I do believe that the moment that they took of that fruit and that promise was invoked, that thou shalt surely die, at that moment, man suffered spiritual death, a separation from the relationship and the fellowship with Almighty God. But I want to tell you this morning, I thank the Lord for promised redemption. That promise of redemption came very shortly thereafter in the same chapter, and in the 15th verse, where God told that great deceiver, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." We need today, brothers and sisters, we need to be aware today, Satan hasn't changed. Satan today is still the great deceiver, just like he was back in Adam and Eve's time. Satan is our imminent enemy. He's not your friend. He will do anything that he can do to get you to follow his evil and his deadly path. And there are many, many people in our world today that are walking his path. This verse that I read to you, this 15th verse, though, it gives humanity great hope. It refers to the assured defeat of Satan through the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his ministry, through his crucifixion, through his burial, and through his resurrection. We are able to have great hope. In that verse in Genesis, God was revealing to us his plan of, his offer of salvation that was going to come to man through his son, Jesus Christ, to atone for or make redemption for the sin that had occurred because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve. The verse I shared from verse 8 of this third chapter, that verse followed the disobedience of Adam and Eve. We're told that they heard the voice of the Lord God. God was walking, it tells us, in the cool of the garden or the cool of the day. And as he was doing that, the scripture said he was calling out to them. He was calling out to them. This was supposed to be a time of sweet fellowship, a wonderful time of union between them and God. But the scripture told us that Adam and his wife, Eve, it tells us there that they hid themselves from the presence of God. They had gone, they thought, into hiding. Today, to this very day, from that time to this day, what I want you to see today is that, you know what, people today are still trying to hide from God. Well, preacher, how are they trying to hide? Well, I want to try to share that with you if I can from God's word. You know, some hide from God at the time of his searching. You know, we have here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, it tells us that the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" The Lord was searching for him. And he said, "Where art thou?" And from that day in the garden until to where we are today, and all the way forward until the return of Jesus Christ. And listen this morning, he is coming. It's yet to come, but he's coming any day now. He could come. God is always seeking sinners. The word of God tells us in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, it tells us, "For the Son of Man," referring to Jesus, "he came to seek and to save that which was lost." Let me ask you this morning, what is the evidence? What is the evidence that we have today that God is still seeking after the unsaved? Is there any evidence whatsoever that God is still seeking? And I believe that we can see that because the Word of God tells us that the Lord, he brings conviction into the heart of those that are lost, those that are separated from a relationship with him. He brings about conviction in their heart, and that's evidence that the Lord is still seeking people today. God speaks today through his word. He speaks to mankind through this gospel message. That's evidence of the seeking of the Lord in men today. We don't like it sometimes, but I can tell you sometimes we go through some trials in life. And I think sometimes those trials is the evidence that God is speaking to us and seeking us. Sometimes the Lord uses preachers. He uses me to be able to show forth the evidence that God is still seeking sinners today. And sometimes he uses your caring friends. If you're here and unsaved, he'll use your caring friends as evidence that he is still seeking today. And if you're here this morning, I don't know your hearts, but if there is someone this morning that's among us that's unsaved, you know, what's the evidence that God is seeking you today, right here, while we're gathered in this service today? And it may be a combination of those things that I just made mention of. It may be that the evidence is God is using me today through this message to reach out to you to show you that the Lord is seeking you today. It may be that the Holy Spirit is taking the word that I'm preaching and taking it to your heart today and bringing about that conviction within your heart this very moment. And I wonder, I say that because I want you to hear me, but the question that has to follow that is, will you be moved today to seek the Lord in return of His seeking, or will you try to hide from God? Or maybe I should say, continue to hide from God. If you don't know it already, hiding from God, it's futile. It's useless. You cannot hide from God. And I want to make a note. Sometime this week, if you get an opportunity, read the 139th Psalm. Go and read. I'm not going to take the time this morning to read it, but you read it. And you will see in that 139th Psalm, as David is giving praise to God, he's giving praise to God for His all-seeing providence throughout that whole chapter. He began it by saying, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me." And as I thought about that verse, basically what it's saying, God knows everything about us. Matthew's Gospel in the 10th chapter and the 30th verse tells us He knows everything about us, right down to the number of hairs that we have on our head. There's nothing that God doesn't know about us. The point that I'm trying to make in this, there's no hiding from God. Job records in the 34th chapter in the 22nd verse, he said, "There is no darkness, nor shadow of death, where the workers of iniquity," and that's of sin, "where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves." There's no darkness, there's no shadow of death, where people that are in sin can hide. But you see, the thing about it is, man keeps trying. Man keeps trying to hide from God. Some try to hide from God during His time of invitation. I said He's seeking. He's always seeking after to save that which is lost. But during that process, there is an invitation as the Lord reaches out to people. In John chapter 5, Jesus said this in the 39th verse. He said, "Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures." He said, "For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." And He said, "And ye will not come to me that you might have life." There are those who know what the Word of God says. There are those who have sat under the preaching of God's Word. They've heard preachers throughout their lives preach about the need to be saved, about the end of time coming, the shortness and the brevity of life, and the need to be in this right relationship with the Lord. They've heard it their whole life. They've heard the message, "Repent or perish." That's the word, or the message of God's word. But you know what? They've heard it, and they've heard it, and they heard it. But what they have failed to do is they have failed to apply it to their life. They have failed to heed the glorious message of the Lord Jesus. They have failed to see Jesus as the Messiah. They have failed to see Jesus as the only begotten Son of God. They have failed to see Jesus as the Savior of the world. They have failed to see the compassion of Christ. You know, that the invitation of the Lord, the drawing of that invitation of the Lord, you know, it's for everybody. I'm so thankful that I worship a God and a Savior and a faith. Well, that's the way it is. There's no one that is excluded from the opportunity to heed the invitation of the Lord. John 3:16 is probably one of the most famous, if not most often quoted, verses that you see. The bus that we went on, went around to the back of the bus, and right there on the bumper of the bus was John 3:16. That's all that was there. But when I saw it, I knew what it was. "For God so loved the world." Isn't that wonderful? That He gave He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but that they would have everlasting life. What a wonderful example of the compassion of the truth of our Savior. Jesus went to the cross of Calvary to pay that sin death. And if every sinner, if every lost person could just see and they could comprehend the compassion that Jesus expressed in his suffering, in his life, what he endured on the cross, I'll tell you what, they wouldn't hide. They wouldn't refuse the salvation, the invitation of salvation from our Lord. In fact, I think they'd run to him to receive that most precious gift if they could just understand and comprehend. I'm praying that happens today if there's someone amongst us, that you're hearing and you're understanding and you're able to comprehend. You think about our Lord's invitation. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, the 11th chapter and the 28th verse, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And he said, "I'll give you rest." Well, rest from what? What will he give you rest from? He'll give you rest from sin. He'll give you rest from that burden. He'll give you rest from that condemnation that fills our heart when God's searching and giving that invitation for us to come to him. The Bible is filled with invitations. The last invitation is found in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Come, and let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Listen this morning, the Holy Spirit, it says, the bride, the church, extends this invitation to all, to the whole world, to come to Jesus and to experience the joy of salvation in Jesus Christ. You know, in this reading, Jesus' invitation, it was to come and it was to drink. Drink of what? To drink of the water of life, it said. The gift that satisfies the soul's need in everyone. You know, there is no satisfaction for the thirst of a spiritual soul except what Jesus Christ can do. The world tries to fill that void, and I have maintained throughout my ministry, I believe because of the fall of Adam and Eve, that created a spiritual void in the heart of every individual. And you see, what's happened over time is the world has tried to fill that void with everything but what they need to fill it with. They'll search for the world's pleasures or the world's material things and all kinds of things, and yet they may satisfy for a season, but they're right back to that hurting in their heart because there's a void there, and the void is a spiritual void that can only be filled by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ when we repent of our sins and put our faith and trust in him, and he puts the Spirit of God within us and his love. And then that void is filled, and we can begin to experience a life filled with joy in that relationship with him. I wonder today, have you responded to that invitation of the Lord, or are you in hiding this morning? Adam and Eve were in hiding. The scripture said Adam and Eve were hiding among the trees from God. Today, people are hiding behind trees too. I'm not talking about physical trees. The trees look a little bit different that I'm talking about this morning. Trees that people hide behind today, it's those busy schedules that they have that are occupying their time. The trees that people are hiding behind today is their work. The trees that people are hiding behind today are worldly activities that take them away from God and away from the teachings of God. And that just makes Satan as happy as can be. Because if he can get your mind off the truth, and I'm talking to the saved and the unsaved. If you're unsaved this morning, he wants to take your mind off the message of the gospel truth. He didn't want you to be thinking about dying in your sins and spending eternity, which is forever and ever and ever, separated apart from God in a place that the Bible calls hell and describes as an awful place, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and there's utter darkness and all kind. He doesn't want you to be thinking about that. He wants you to be thinking about the pleasures of this life. But I tell you what, if you die in that condition, that's what your future is going to be. And there won't be any reprieve. There won't be any do-overs. And Christian people, he's on you too. He don't want you to testify to that lost person. He don't want you to live that upright life where people could say, there's something different about that person. They must be a Christian, Christ-like. He don't want that. And we make all kind. People are hiding today behind their trees. I'm reminded, and that never changes. I thought about the parable in the 14th chapter of Luke, the parable of the Great Supper. A supper was being prepared, and the master sent out for the bidding to come in, that the supper was ready. And listen to what it said there. He said, "For all things are now ready." Now listen, here comes the excuses. Verse 18. "And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And the other said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." You hear what I'm saying this morning? People try to hide from the Lord's invitation in so many ways. But listen to what my text said again. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. "Neither is there any creature," that covers everything, "neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." That's pretty plain, isn't it? That is pretty plain. Nothing, no one can be hidden from God. He knows everyone. He knows everything. He's everywhere. His eyes are wide open. He's an all-seeing God. He sees all that we do. He knows everything that we think. And even when you and I are unaware of his presence, he's there. Just because we're not aware or paying the attention to it, the Bible tells us that he is there. When we try to hide from him, he sees us. We can have no secrets from God. We can have secrets from one another, but there are no secrets that are kept from God. And surprisingly, and this is what I love about my Lord and Savior, even though he intimately knows every little detail about me, and even though he knows every little detail about you, whether it be good or whether it be bad, he still loves us. He still loves us. He loved us enough to send his son Jesus to be the atonement for sin. And yet the Bible tells us that there will still be those who will be trying to hide from God when he comes again and returns. He's coming again. And when he comes, he's going to be coming and he is going to exhibit his righteous wrath and judgment upon those who ignored him when he was searching, who ignored his invitation. The Bible is pretty clear about that. Revelation chapter 6, beginning in verse 15, we find this. It says, "And the kings of the earth, and great men, and rich men, and chief captains, and mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. What does that mean? How strange. An angry lamb? All of those throughout time who have rejected the Lord. All of those who are today rejecting Jesus. All of those who show no fear for God. All of those who flaunt their unbelief in a great and mighty God. They're going to find out they're wrong. And according to Scripture, they're going to face the wrath of God. The wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb that was slain on the cross of Calvary. Jesus is that Lamb. He came with purpose. He came to take away the sins of the world. He came to deliver us from wrath. John wrote in the third chapter, in the 36th verse, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The Word of God identified those who were trying to hide. And when I read that verse to you, I don't know if you picked up on it, but what the verse was really saying to us this morning is that status means nothing when it comes to the soul. It doesn't matter. In naming the kings of the earth, in naming the presidents of the world, it was showing us that position does not make a difference when it comes to the eternal security of a soul. It named in my reading the chief captains and the mighty men. To me, that was telling us that it doesn't matter. Power doesn't make a difference. Power doesn't protect anybody from the wrath of the Lamb, from the wrath of God. It said all those who were free and all those who were slaves, it doesn't matter. Riches doesn't make a difference when it comes to the eternal security of a soul. Who you are, what you have, will not protect you from the wrath of the Lamb. The only thing that will protect you from the wrath of the Lamb is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, when the Lord comes back, instead of bringing wrath to the unbelieving, He is going to be calling to the believing. And we're going to be, those that have died will be raised, and those that are alive will be changed in the moment in a twinkling of an eye. He's coming back to get us so that we can enjoy the promises of the Lord. And what a blessing that is. Listen, they would be crying out for the mountains and the rocks to fall on them. But listen this morning, no amount of falling rocks is going to hide anybody from the Lamb. I don't care how good of camouflage you think you're wearing or you have on, you cannot hide from the Lord. I've already said that. My text verse said that. This morning, listen, I'm going to be done in just a minute. It's important to realize and understand this morning that there is a difference in hiding from God and hiding in God. I want you to hear that. There's a difference from hiding from God and hiding in God. You know, the Lord asked a question in the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah. In the 23rd chapter, in the 24th verse, He said, can any hide himself? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? The answer to the first question is no. Can any hide himself in the secret places that I shall not see him? The answer to that is no. The second question was, do not I fill heaven and earth? The answer is yes. Why? Because God, according to the Word of God, He's omnipotent, all powerful. The Word of God teaches us that He is omniscient, knows everything. And the Word of God tells us that He's omnipresent. And when we look at those words, I want to focus on omnipresence for just a moment, because the omnipresence of God, it's a compound word where you take what comes from those words. Omni means all, and of course presence means present. So it's what I've been trying to tell you this morning. God is present everywhere at all times, no exception. He's right here today. You know, people will say, well, you know, the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there He is in the presence of it. Well, sure, He is. But listen, He's where we are everywhere, all the time, every day, 365 days a year. There's no place that anybody's hiding from God that He doesn't see us and He doesn't know where we're at. He is always there and knows where we're at. The truth of God's Word about our safety. I'm safe in Christ this morning. I'm safe in Christ because He saved my soul. And I have the indwelling of the Spirit of God within my soul today. And again, not hiding from God, but hiding in God. See, there becomes a place and a time where we switch. The sinner often is trying to hide from God. But when they surrender to the drawing power and the invitation of the Lord, and with a repentant heart of faith, trust in the Lord unto the saving of their soul, they go from hiding from God to hiding in Him. And you receive something that no one can ever take away from you. People have taken stuff from me in the past. They've broken into my home and stole stuff from my home. But you know what? My salvation is something that never can be taken away from me. I'll leave this world with that precious gift that God gave unto me. And if you're saved, you will too. And if you're not saved, you need to get it before you leave this life. Paul, in his writing to the Colossians, he said this in the third chapter, beginning in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. Hallelujah for me as a Christian, and hallelujah for you as a Christian. As I conclude my message this morning, where do you stand with the Lord? If you're saved this morning, I hope you're as happy as you can be in the Lord. I hope you're as close as you can be to the Lord. I hope you're enjoying your walk with the Lord. But maybe today, if you're trying to hide from Him, I pray that you've listened to my message this morning. And I hope that you've understood my message this morning. And I hope that I've been clear enough that you know that I said that you cannot hide from Him, but you can hide in Him. And you can hide in Him by coming and seeking Him. But only if you respond to God's call. Only if you respond to His searching. Only if you respond to His invitation to come. And only if you come out of hiding from Him and come to Him with a repentant heart of faith. Then and only then will you be safe in Jesus. Then and only then will you be safe and secure right now and through all of eternity, because that is the promise of God's Word. Brother Allen, I want you to come. I want to have a song of invitation. People need to stop hiding. They need to respond to the Lord. Christian people, we're walking with the Lord. He's with us every step of our life, and He's guiding and directing us through His Holy Spirit. And that's a good thing. We should welcome that. We should embrace that. And we should say, I need to listen more to that Spirit of God, because I know the more I listen, the closer to the Lord I am, and the happier I am in the joy of my salvation and doing the things that God wants me to do. If you're here this morning and you're unsaved, hiding from the Lord, I said, it's futile. There's no place to hide. And God has demonstrated His love, beginning with Adam and Eve when they tried to hide themselves. And God said, where art thou? Does anybody honestly think that God didn't know where they were? He knew exactly where they were. But He was giving them opportunity, just like He gives us opportunity to respond to Him. And I hope today, as we give the song of invitation, if there's somebody among us today that's lost, if God has used the means that I mentioned, maybe me, using His Word through the Spirit of God, and your heart is troubled today, I hope that He has opened your eyes. You see, the Scripture says Satan wants to blind you from the truth. But the gospel will open your eyes from the blindness of the truth. And you can see it clearly, and you can know what your need is. And you can come to the Lord, and you can repent of your sins. And if you're sincere and earnest with that, the truth of God's Word is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That could be you today. You could leave here a new person. You could be rejoicing in the promise of God of having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you don't have to worry or fear about what tomorrow may come. Because if some tragedy comes, absent from the body is present with the Lord for a child of God. And you could get past all that worry and anxiety that we talked about in our Sunday school lesson. If God is speaking to you, will you come? Let's stand. Let's have a song. Put the hiding behind. Come out unto the Lord and hide in Him instead of from Him. Brother Allen.